ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وحده لا شريك له ولا نظير له ولا ند له ولا ضد له ولا مثل له ولا مثال له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا قمتم إلى الصلاة فاغسلوا وجوهكم وأيديكم إلى المرافق وامسحوا برؤوسكم وأرجلكم إلى الكعبين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مفتاح الجنة الصلاة ومفتاح الصلاة الطهور أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
Respected elders and brothers, Hazrat Nabiyya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should make one beautiful dua. Allahumma inni as'aluka tamam al-wudu wa tamam as-salah wa tamam ridwanik wa tamam maghfiratik. Oh Allah, I ask you for a perfect wudu and a perfect salah, and your complete forgiveness, and your complete pleasure. Allahumma inni as'aluka tamam al-wudu, wa tamam as-salah, wa tamam ridwanik, wa tamam maghfiratik. Ulama-i-kiram say that like the Qur'an-i-Kareem is a mu'jiza and a miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that will remain till the day of Qiyamah, so are the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which are a mu'jiza, every du'a of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beauty of it, the splendor of it till the day of Qiyamah. So in this dua, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for a perfect wuzu, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with a perfect, a Muslim, how many times in the day is making wudu? For every salah he's making wudu. Sometimes even more than 5 times in the day he's making wudu to read the Quran Sharif, to touch the Quran Sharif. He is making his wudu. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for a perfect wudu. In one hadith Sharif, it is mentioned Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Miftahu al-jannati as-salah, that the key to jannat is salah, wa miftahu as-salati at-tahur, and the key to salah is wudu. Person makes a perfect good wudu, then that becomes the means of him performing his salah correctly and properly. Sometimes a person's wudu is not correct, and even the salah also doesn't become correct, even his concentration, etc., he can't focus, reason being that the wudu wasn't done correctly and properly. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, and he says, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam once came down from the skies, and he struck his foot onto the ground, and a fountain of water shot out of the ground. And with that water, Jibreel alayhi salam made wudu, and he asked me to watch how he was making wudu. And then he said to me that, this is how a Muslim is supposed to be making wudu. So Jibreel alayhi salam came himself, he taught me how to make the wudu, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereafter taught the wudu to the sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum. It is mentioned in a hadith that he would practically demonstrate and show, this is how the face has to be washed, this is how the hands have to be washed, this is how the masa is made, this is how the feet have to be washed. And like this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to the sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum the correct manner and the proper manner of making wudu. Then we see amongst the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, there were many of them. Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu was the third khalifa and the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is reported about him on the Friday mimbar, on the Jummah mimbar. He would sit on the mimbar and he would explain from the Jummah, from the mimbar, how the wudu is supposed to be made, how the wudu is supposed to be done. Explaining that this is how the different aspects of wudu is supposed to be done. We see about Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the fourth khalifa of Islam. Then in the bazaars, in Kufa, he would call all the business people, the people, the shopkeepers, then the customers, and he would take a mud, he would take a container with water in it, and he would tell him, stop all the work and look, This is how wudu is supposed to be made, and this is how I learned to make wudu from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We see that the Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhum, they had this concern, this fikr, how the wudu is supposed to be. Sometimes it mustn't be that we are making wudu, but we have some mistakes in our wudu. Maybe we're not washing our hands correctly. The elbow, for example, to wash in wudu is farz. It is compulsory to wash the elbow in wudu. When a person is washing his face, the area between his beard and his earlobe, that area is also farz to wash it in wudu. So if a person is missing it out, he's missing out a farz in wudu. If the wudu is incomplete, the salah is incomplete. Normally, in a maktab, in a madrasa, one of the subjects that's taught to the children is how to make wudu and how to read salah. Together with teaching them Quran, Sharif, etc., the children are taught how to make wudu and how to perform salah. And every child, the ustad will teach him the wudu, take him practically to the wudu khana, make him make the wudu in front of the ustad. The ustad will check. Examinations will be taken on this as well to see that the child, because that child thereafter for the rest of his life, how many times is he going to make wudu? And if his wudu is perfected now, then inshallah his wudu will remain with him for the rest of his life, how he's learnt it here in the madrasa. So we should have this concern. There's so many ulama in our midst, so many learned people in our midst sometimes. Maybe just go and check, my wudu is right, am I missing out something? Is there something that I've left out in case my wudu is not right? One day, one sahabi, he was making wudu, and while he's making wudu, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw that his heels were not washed. The heels were not washed. So he made the wudu, but he didn't wash his heels correctly. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's words to him was, وَيْلٌ لِلْأَعْقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ وَيْلٌ لِلْأَعْقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ Destruction to those heels that will burn in the fire of hell. Because we never wash these heels correctly in wudu. So then the sahabi, he says, that's when I learned that I need to wash my heels also correctly in when I'm making wudu. It mustn't be that some part is left dry and the wudu is not done. Recently there was one ghusl of one mayyat took place in Lodge Grove where the ghusl khana is. So there was one lady who had passed away, and whilst the ladies were making the ghusl of this woman, they found that on her nails, she's got this nail polish. She's got the nail polish, and that nail polish prevents water from touching the nails. And this is farz. Now, person passed away, the ghusl has to be done correctly, and that nail polish, now they couldn't get it out. So they tried whatever they could, they couldn't get it out. Eventually they had to call one lady, one kafira lady, a disbelieving woman, to come there. Normally a mayat is there. You don't even like a person who's in the state of janabat to stand in front. But you have to call a non-Muslim woman to come there and then remove that nail polish to do the ghusl of that. So you have to be very careful about these aspects, that a person is doing his wudu properly, correctly. Sometimes a woman is plastering her face with makeup and now she's making wudu on top of that. Is the water touching the skin, not touching the skin? These are all maslahs that we need to be keeping in mind in as far as wudu is concerned. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains that the key to salah is wudu. And if a person makes his wudu correctly and properly, then inshallah his salah will also be correct. In the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains to us some beautiful du'as that we should make whilst we are making wudu. One du'a is when a person commences the wudu, just before starting, Bismillah walhamdulillah. Simple, easy du'a. Bismillah we all know. Alhamdulillah we all know. We just put a wow in between and join the two. Bismillah walhamdulillah. That's before starting the wudu. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, if we read this dua before making wudu, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala commands our malaika who are writing out our name amal, our good deeds. They're writing down the deeds in the book. Carry on writing for him, good deeds. Just carry on writing nekis and good deeds for him for as long as he keeps this wudu. For as long as he keeps his wudu, just carry on writing good deeds for him. So if he kept his wudu for 5 hours, these malaika are busy just writing in his book for 5 hours, just because he read the simple dua, Bismillah, time of commencing his wudu. Thereafter, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whilst you're making your wudu, Allahumma ghfir li dhambi, wa wasi'li fi dari, wa barikli fi rizqi. That a person will read in between. Anyway, in between his wudu, he will read. What a beautiful dua. Oh Allah, forgive my sins. Oh Allah, give me expansion in my risk, in my wealth, in my family, and give me barakat in my risk and in my wealth. Every person wants barakat in his risk and wealth. Every person you'll meet, one of our things are tight, battling, we can't make ends meet. Easy way, make this dua in our wuzu. Allah, give me barakat in my risk. Allahumma ghfir li dhambi, wa wasi'li fi dari, wa barik li fi risk. And most of us, alhamdulillah, we have learned these duas already in our maktab years. We have learned these duas. Is this a matter of making amal on it and practicing on it and bringing it alive? whilst we are making wuzu. And then at the end of our wuzu, there's a dua where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, read, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ اللَّهُمَّ اجْعَلْنِي مِنَ التَّوَّابِينَ وَاجْعَلْنِي مِنَ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. Person who reads this dua after he completes his wuzu, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah ta'ala then flings open for him the 8 doors of Jannah. 8 doors of Jannah. Jannah has 8 doors. And each of these doors in Jannah are for certain people. If a person fasts in Ramadan, there's one door, it's called Rayyan, you can enter from that door. So there's different doors for different people. But the person who reads this dua after wudu, Allah opens all 8 doors. You enter from whichever door you are. All the doors of Jannah are open for you. Jannah is welcoming you, that please come inside. For that person who used to read this dua after wudu. So simple, easy duas that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that person who while making wudu uses the miswak and makes wudu. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala multiplies the reward of his sawab by 70. So one is, a person he made wudu, but he didn't use the miswak and he performed salah, he'll get one reward. And a person, he made miswak and he made wudu and then he performed salah. So his reward is multiplied by 70. So it's like a person who's working. At the end of the week, he gets paid 1,000 rand. So the boss tells him, I've got 2 parcels in my hand. One is 1,000 rand, one is 70,000 rand. And you can choose which one you want from the two. We'll jump and we'll take the 70,000 rand because we know the value of rands and cents. The value of rands, wallahi, if we know the value of sawab and reward, not one wuzu of ours will make without making the miswak. So ulama ikiram, they suggest and they say, keep on miswak in your pocket. So whenever you make a wuzu, you got a miswak, you make your miswak, and then you perform your salah, the reward is multiplied so much more. Even when we make a wuzu at home, keep a miswak there and then make a wuzu, then there's so much of sawab and reward for this. In 1996, one great buzur came to South Africa, Hazrat Maulana Siddiq Banwi Rahmatullah Ali. In his bayan, one of the things he mentioned is, he says, when we're building our homes, build one wuzu khana in your house. Build one wuzu khana in your house. There's so many things we're doing in our homes. Big homes we're building. One wuzu khana, one namaz room. One salah room, build in your home. So he says, why? He says, as you're getting older, how long are you going to keep on picking your leg up in the sink and making wuzu? See, sometimes the old woman, she can't manage to keep on picking her leg up in the sink and making wudu. And many a times the sinks are in the toilet. So in the toilet, we can't read these du'as. These du'as, we can't read it in the toilet. Because Allah's name, we can't take in the toilet. So if you got a separate wudu khana that we built in our home somewhere, easily we can make our wudu, and easily we can read the du'as also. So we're building so many things, beautiful bathrooms, toilets, lounge, so much of money we're spending. One thing we can spend on is building a little wudu khana that makes it comfortable for us, where we can make our wudu, and we can come. The wudu khana in the masjid, remember, is for an emergency, a person whose wudu broke and now he needs to use. But the right way, the sunnat way, is make wudu at home. We make a wudu at home and then we come to the masjid. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that person who makes wudu at home and he comes to the masjid, he's like a person in ihram, who's got his ihram on and he's reading labbaik, he's going for hajj. So he made wudu at home and he's coming to the masjid, he's like a person who is in ihram, so much of sawab and reward. So this was Imam Siddiq Sahib rahmatullah alayhi's advice. He says that build a wuzu khana at home, build one salah room at home. He says, salah room not for you to read your faraz salah at home. You must read your faraz salah in a masjid. But for the women folk, they got one space where they can read aram, say nicely, they can read the salah at home. Even if you want to wake up for tahajjud, you want to perform some nafil salah at home, then easily you can perform it in that place that has been allocated in your home for the ibadat and for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, in Hadith Sharif, it is mentioned, when a person performs wudu, then whatever sins he's committed, Allah Ta'ala washes those sins away. If he's committed some sins with his hands, then the sins that he's committed with his hands are washed away. When he washes his face, the sins he committed with his eyes, with his tongue, etc., are washed away through the barakat of the wudu. Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah alayhi, used to say, this incident is mentioned in the Fazail Amal. He says, Hazrat Imam Sahib Rahmatullah, when he used to be making wudu, he could actually see through the power of kashf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him, where he could actually see the sins of people falling off their hands or falling off their limbs whilst they are making wudu. He could actually see that this person is committing this sin and this person. Then he made dua to Allah ta'ala, Ya Allah, take this power away from me. I don't want to see the sins of people. I don't want to see the wrongs of people. But he could actually see those sins being washed away. So whilst we're making wudu also, the sins of a person are washed away. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once asked, Ya Rasulullah, on the day of Qiyamah, when all the people are gathered in front, and they all are standing there, how will you know which one is from your ummah and which one are from the other ummah? Because we'll have people from Hazrat Adam alayhi salam's time, right till the last person that will come before Qiyamah. There'll be billions of people that will be there, trillions of people. How will you recognize who's from your ummah? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the words he used were, Hurram muhajjaleen, that these people from my ummah, the limbs with which they have to make wudu will be shining. And I'll just be able to make out exactly because of the wudu that they used to make, the limbs will shine. I'll just make out this is from my ummah, this person is from my ummah. And I'll be able to gather my ummatis and bear testimony on their behalf on the day of Qiyamah because of the limbs that will be shining on wudu. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains, he says, Al-wudu'u silahul mu'min. That wudu is a protection, it's a weapon of a believer. A person who is in a state of wudu is in the protection of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He is in the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for as long as he remains in that wudu. So a person sometimes, a person is scared, he's worried, he may be scared for some attack from some enemy. Easy thing to do, go into the state of wudu. You are now in the protection of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. There's one famous incident about one buzurg. His name was Mullah Jeewan Rahmatullah Ali. Mullah Jeewan Rahmatullah Ali has written one kitab called Nurul Anwar. Ulama-i Kiram in the Darul Ulooms, they studied this kitab in the fourth year of the Alim course. He was a great Alim, and he lived in the time of the King Shah Jahan, in the Mughal King Shah Jahan. So Shah Jahan's son, who was Alamgir, he was studying by this Alim. He was studying by this Alim, Mullah Jeewan Rahmatullah Ali. One day the king now, these kings are free, they do as they want, they got power, they got wealth. So they do as they want. So one day Shah Jahan passed some ruling. He was married to one Shia lady. So his ways were a little bit off sometimes. So he said he did something and he passed some ruling which was incorrect. So this Mullah Jeewan Rahmatullah Ali, he had to speak out. He had to speak. This is a work of the ulama. Ulama kiram, sometimes someone is doing something wrong. They have to explain that this is what he's done is wrong. We feel sometimes man is acting like an extremist. But it's not the extremist, this is his way. It's a work of the ulama that they have to stop this wrong. So here this person, the king said something, and Mullah Jeewan Rahmatullah Ali passed the ruling, what the king is saying is wrong, and the people will not follow this ruling. So the king got very upset. He immediately sent the armies, arrest this man. Arrest this man, we'll lock him up. Mullah Jeewan Rahmatullah Ali, when he heard about this, immediately went onto the wuzu khana seat, and he performed wuzu. He said, now I'm in the protection of Allah. Allah will protect me, not the king, not the king's grandfather can do anything to me now. So this Alamgir who was studying there, who was the son of Shah Jahan, he immediately sent a message to his father. He said, Abba, please call your armies back. There's no good in you sending your armies for this man here. Because this man is a man of Allah. And when he's a man of Allah, then he's in the protection of Allah Ta'ala. And you sending your armies, it's like as if you're fighting against Allah Ta'ala. So if you know what's best for you, just call your armies back. Immediately the king called the armies back. And this man was safe. So a person, if he wants to be in the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one nice thing to do is to stay in the state of wudu. Stay in the state. A lot of buzruganajin, you will see them, they're always in the state of wudu. Always keeping in wudu. The wudu breaks, and then they'll stay in wudu again. Hazrat Bilal, radiallahu ta'ala, who was the muazzin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the financial minister of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One day, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had one dream. And in the dream, he saw himself in Jannah. And he can hear the footsteps of Hazrat Bilal, radiallahu ta'ala, ahead of him in Jannah. So after the Fajr Salah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him. He said, Bilal, I heard your footsteps ahead of me in Jannah last night. Tell me what action, what amal are you doing that has earned you the sawab and the reward? So his reply was, Ya Rasulullah, I always remain in the state of wudu. And whenever my wudu breaks, I will renew my wudu and I read two rakats tahiyatul wudu. I read two rakats tahiyatul wudu. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very happy. He said, Bilal, keep up with this practice. Keep up with this practice of remaining in the state of wudu and performing these two rakats of tahiyatul wudu. This will be a great benefit for you. So we see that this teaching of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every part of it, every bit of it, is full of barakat, full of blessing, full of goodness for us. When we start a wudu, the first thing a person does when he starts his wudu is he washes his hands three times. He washes his hands three times and then he commences his wudu. So we have gone in Jamaat to Cape Town, and in the Shab Guzari, Maulana Jina Sahab from Kimberley, he He was giving bayan over there. And one of the things he mentioned, Maulana was saying there, he's saying that when he came into one masjid, then he saw one sign on the board there, 9 steps for washing hands. 9 steps for washing hands. So Maulana is saying, I'm thinking to myself, that do we have to teach a Muslim about washing hands? A Muslim, before he makes wudu, every Muslim is washing his hands 3 times. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught that you wake up in the morning, first thing you do, you wash your hands. When a person is going to sit down to eat, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, wash your hands, don't wipe it. After you eat, wash your hands, now wipe it. Person goes to the toilet, he comes out, wash your hands. So much of teaching. He says, we don't need a kafir to come teach us about washing our hands. Because all these teachings has come already in the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us every bit of this here. Another important thing that ulama teach us when it comes about wudu is, that when we give wudu, a person should not waste water. One day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was passing by Hazrat Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he saw him, he's washing water, he's making wudu, but little water was getting wasted. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, ma haza saraf, what's this wasting? So Hazrat Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, ya Rasulullah, afil wudu is sarafun, is it wasting in wudu also? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, wa in kunta ala qattin jarin, even if you are by a flowing river, and you're making wudu there, you wash your face only 3 times, you wash it 4 times, that's wasting. That's wasting. If you wash it 4 times, that's wasting. So a person shouldn't be wasting water when making wudu. Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he used to say, that many a times a person, he can't get concentration in his salah. He can't get concentration in his salah because at the time of making wudu, he wasted too much water. He wasted too much water at the time of making wudu. He didn't make his wuzu properly and correct, wasted water. Now when it came to his salah, he can't get that khushu and khuzu, that concentration that he's looking for in his salah. And the reason for this was he wasted water at the time of making wuzu. So here again, very importantly for us, that whilst making wuzu, we don't waste water. Try and use water sparingly. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to make wudu in one mud. One mud is a measure, small little container. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making wudu in that container size water. If we're making wudu in the wudu khana also, we should be careful that we try and adjust the tap. When washing our face, we're making masa, close the tap. Close the tap so the water is not being wasted. At the time of making masa, sometimes making masa and the water is running, so close the tap and then make our masa, etc. So in that way, we're not wasting water whilst making wudu. Just end with this one more hadith, inshallah, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains with regards to a person who makes wudu and goes to sleep at night. Person makes wudu and he goes to sleep at night. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned many, many virtues and many ahadith explain the sawab and the reward for a person who makes wudu and goes to sleep at night. Number one is that the first thing that's mentioned in the hadith, that person who makes wudu and then he sleeps at night, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala sends one angel. That angel stands by his bedside, looking after him, protecting him for the entire night. No shaitan, no jadu, no jinnat can trouble this man for the whole night. Because that angel is standing by him and protecting him for the whole night. And as he turns from side to side, that angel is making dua for him. Allahumma ghfir lahu, Allahumma ghfir, oh Allah, forgive this man, oh Allah. The angel is making dua for that person who sleeps in a state of wudu, number one. Number two, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains that that person who makes wudu and goes to sleep, he gets the reward as if he spent the whole night in ibadat and in the worship of Allah Ta'ala. Where can me and you spend the whole night in the worship of Allah Ta'ala? Easy way for us, make wudu and go to sleep. You get the sawab whole night in the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. Now the hadith explains that when a person makes wudu and he goes to sleep, his ruh and his soul, when it leaves his body and it goes up to the arsh of Allah and it remains in sajda in front of the arsh of Allah Ta'ala for the entire night. For the entire night, in the sajda in front of the arsh of Allah Ta'ala for a person who makes wudu and goes to sleep. And the fourth thing mentioned in the hadith is, if that person who makes wudu and he goes to sleep, if he passes away that night, he dies in as a death of a shaheed. He dies the death of a martyr in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how easy it is for us in these cold days now, when it's a little bit colder, the sawab also is even more. Isbaghul wuzu'i ala al-makari. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says at the time it is difficult to make wudu, you're making that wudu, your sawab even increases. Now a person goes to sleep in that state where he made wudu and he went to sleep, then this is so much of sawab and reward. Allah Ta'ala give us a tawfiq, inshallah. Today, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, we spoke a little bit about importance of wudu, how to make our wudu, etc. Just to show a little bit importance to this whilst making wudu, try and stay in the state of wudu, read our du'as, that have been taught to us by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Try and stay in the state. Make sure we're doing our wudu correctly and properly, because this is the key to our salah, and salah is the key to Jannah. Allah forgive us.